In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel is part of a section of Matthew, chapter 25, that actually we will be proclaiming in the not-too-distant future. Before this particular passage, the Lord was talking about the bridegroom returning, and those that did not have any oil in their lamps. So he begins this rather apocalyptic section, which is what Matthew 25 is all about. And what follows this is indeed the gospel that refers to the last judgment. So the church takes it in a little bit different direction. In the first week of Holy Week, or the first part of Holy Week, we talk about, behold, the bridegroom comes at midnight. And yet before that, many weeks, we talk about the second coming of the Savior on the third preparatory Sunday for Great Lent. But this is an equally important passage here in the middle because it points to something that turns everything that the Lord has done around on us and puts it into our laps. Keep in mind that the talent that we hear about today, a talent back then was a lot of money, probably equal to about 3 years' salary of a rich person. So it was a huge amount of money that the Lord is speaking of. And the parable goes like this. Well, the master comes and he distributes to his servants these talents because he's going away, gives one 5 talents, gives another 2 talents, gives another 1 talent. And when he comes back, he expects something in return. And of course, the one with the 5 talents and the one with the 2 talents both end up with the same reward. That's the wonderful thing about it. It didn't matter how much they were given, they were both given the same reward to enter into the joy of their master, well done, good and faithful servant. And so the first two just, they do that. They take those talents and they multiply them. And so one comes back with 10. Okay, the other comes back with double their amount. But yet the one person that got only 1 talent, who would have received the same reward as the one with 5, simply buries it in the ground. And comes back and really insults the master by saying, I know that you're a hard man and you reap where you did not sow. And so I just kept it safe for you. And so here it is, right back to you, the one that you gave me. I've protected it. And of course, the Lord says, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reaped where I did not sow, and yet I expected this back with interest, and you didn't do anything. So go away from me into the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth that we hear so often in the gospel. So what is this really all about? It points to the fact that God gives us all kinds of gifts, both corporately and individually. All of us have some sort of talent that we contribute. Now, we contribute it in society. We contribute in our families. There's many, many different talents that each one of us possess. But here particularly, in terms of the relationship of ourselves to the body of Christ, we are given these different specific talents, things that we are supposed to do, and not only talents, but the grace of God itself. That is what He is giving us. But yet we can't just sit on it. We can't just let it go and pretend that it's not there and say, well, Lord, you gave me this little bit of grace, but on the last and great day of judgment, you know, hey, I guess I've still got that grace. But no, that's not the case, because in the spiritual life, there is no standing still, not at all. We are to take all these things which God gives us and work them, multiply them, bring fruit forth from them instead of letting them sit and do nothing. And that's probably the place where most of us end up failing, isn't it? Because we all know the things that we could contribute, all the things that we could do for the church, for instance. But even beyond that, all the things that we can do for ourselves spiritually by doing these things. Because the fruit has to come first of all from within us, from within our hearts. That's where it multiplies first. And from then it goes into the community, the congregation at large. Because we are called to do these things. God gives us the grace, but if we don't do anything with it, it's completely useless. And He's going to consider that as a rejection of the gifts that He has given us if we don't do something with it. That is His commandment, that we have to take everything we do and multiply it and make it come forth in a way that just overflows in all of us. But yet we shy away from that. We somehow think that the mere name, for instance, of Orthodox Christian is going to be enough to get us into the kingdom of heaven. And it's not. It's certainly not. It requires a lot of us. It requires that we get off our rear ends and work hard for the things that we know we should be working hard for. Increase our spiritual lives. Put Christ first in our lives. And that's so easy to forget. We end up doing other things instead. Things that are, when it comes down to it, maybe pleasurable for a moment, but are ultimately stupid and not soul-saving at all. They won't do anything for us. Anytime we take away from prayer to do something silly, that's a missed opportunity. Anytime we're not in church to do something silly, it's a missed opportunity. Because when that day finally comes around, and keep in mind again that this passage is in chapter 25 where the Lord is talking about this leading up to the great judgment. Anytime we don't do what is required of us, we are wasting time. And the Lord is not going to see that as something that He wants to bring to Himself, because He won't recognize us. He won't know. And in fact, He'll say, well, look, you had all this. You had things that few people in this country anyway have. You have the true faith. You have the faith that was born of the martyr's blood that was increased over 2,000 years. That is completely the pearl of great price. And yet, what did you do with it? Well, nothing. I ignored it. I had other things to do. You know, I was busy doing that or you know, had to take care of this or something like that. And guess what? When we're all lying in the grave one day, none of that's going to matter. None of it is going to matter. Only the things that we do now, increasing the spirituality that the Lord has given us, increasing the grace that He has given us, fulfilling His commandments, loving Him above all other things, and loving your neighbor as yourself, the two great commandments. This is what we have to do. This is what being an Orthodox Christian is all about. It won't save you just by the name. In fact, it only adds to the hypocrisy when you get right down to it. Because where much is given, much is expected. And we have to keep that in mind. The Lord gives us everything, absolutely everything. And He brings us all to Him because He wants to commune with us. He wants to speak with us. He wants to share His love with all of us. He wants all of His creation to fall down and worship Him because of the gifts that He gives, because He is our Creator. These are the things that we have to really put first in mind in everything that we do. I had someone who was asking me earlier this week, one of the catechumens actually, was talking about how can I keep my spiritual life up to snuff when I have to do so many other things in the secular world. And I told this person, look, the very notion that you are talking about something that is sacred and something that is secular is an absolute heresy for an Orthodox Christian, because there is no secular in our lives. everything that we do comes from the Spirit of our God who animates us, who gives us life, who gives us gifts, who allows us to work in the world and do things in the world. There is no secular. It is all sacred. All of life is called to be something that is shining in the bright radiance of Christ, that is done for Him ultimately. You might think that you're doing something for an employer, okay? But you're not. You're doing the best of your ability for the glory of God. Because if we retreat back into these categories of sacred and secular, and you know, we keep our everyday life over here, but yet on Sunday, okay, we're going to put our nice little sacredness up here and stand in that for an hour or two, and then somehow go back to the rest of it for the rest of the week, that's a huge mistake, a huge error. Exactly what this parable today is talking about, that everything has to be for the glory of God. St. Paul tells us this all the time. You know, whether you're eating, whether you're drinking, whatever you're doing, it, you're doing to the glory of God. That has to be first and foremost in your mind, especially as Orthodox Christians, because your forebears certainly knew this. All of the saints that have gone before us certainly knew this. The apostles knew it. Those who were fishermen, those who were very unlearned, became, as we say, most wise in the Holy Spirit of God. These are the things that God gives us that we have to activate. We have to put them in front of our eyes and do everything for Christ. Now, does this mean you have to be some sort of, you know, religious nut out there on the street, you know, holding up a cardboard sign that says the end is near or something like that? No. No. Again, that's silliness. What you have to do is have it in here. It has to be something that is so welled up in you, that is just about to explode in you, that people will see it and not even know what it is. They'll just feel it. They'll think, well, there's something different about that person. That person's always friendly. They're always loving to me. They're always trying to help me. They're always looking out for me in one way or the other. And I can't understand it, because I don't know what it is behind all of this. This is how we should be. We don't have to have triple crosses on our foreheads as we walk around, you know, the town every week. We don't have to do those sorts of things, because again, it's got to be what's inside. It has to come out from here. This is what the Lord is talking about. This is what the talents mean. This is what we have to multiply, because when the rest of the world sees that, they can always detect something different about a Christian if it's genuine and coming from inside. They may not always like it. It may turn some people away, and they don't even know why, because holiness does that. Holiness is a very divisive thing. It attracts those whose hearts are prepared for it, and it repels those whose hearts are not. But that's not our problem. We simply have to have that holiness within us in order to present it to the world and to present it back to the Lord on that great day. To say, look, this is what I did. This is what I've been involved in. This is how much I love you because of what I have been doing my whole life. And then if we do that, the Lord's going to look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Be an Orthodox Christian. Be an Orthodox Christian. Don't let it just be a name tag. Don't let it just be something that you do every once in a while. Let it guide your life in every facet of your life, in everything you do in your life. I promise you, will never be the same again. You will be going, as St. Gregory of Nyssa tells us in his book, from glory to glory to glory. And that, my brothers and sisters, is worth the effort. Amen.